Hour 2 Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan is out in California, and he's in San Jose. He wants Johnny Rockets, but there's some bad news online, Noodles.
Yeah. Like,
doesn't sound good about Johnny Rockets right now.
Well, and
what happened?
Well, it's not open, and my bad luck continues because I just Uber Eats some Jack in the Box, and Jesus, the lady Jesus delivered it, and it's gone. I don't know if you saw, like, Al's brother's talking, and I'm just like, come on, let's go. Like,
right.
And there's a picture of it, and it's like, says it's delivered. I went out there. It's
someone grabbed it. 100%. Someone did a walk by. Like, I'll grab that. No
problem. Yeah, there's a picture of it saying, like, it's just sitting on the table. And I go out there. There's feathers.
So
I'm
how does that
so
work?
Rattled.
Like, you obviously aren't going to have to pay for that, I would assume.
Well, of course I have to pay for it.
Oh, that counts as. So, okay, because
yeah, because there's monsters that would call in and be like, someone stole my food and they ate it like 4 seconds earlier. Yeah,
but yeah, true enough. I guess you're right. But in this particular case, there's an honest case. I mean, Noodles has got literally video where you can prove it. Like, I'm on
TV. Yeah, but
TV
the company
right
can't
now
go by honest that Noodles is a good guy because of the monsters.
I know,
the monsters.
What if someone drops it off at the wrong place?
Well, that's it. There's a picture of it, and I can't find that picture. Like, it's specific. I'm in a room called the Think Tank, and there's only one Think Tank room on the second floor. So I punch it in there, and I don't know what's going on. It's very frustrating.
Well, I think you're
going to
find it. I think you're going to find it. Call the front desk.
Why wouldn't you go In and Out? How do you go Johnny Rockets to where did you call?
Jack in the Box.
Jack in the Box over In and Out. You're not an In and Out guy, or? It's just not your thing?
You know what it is? I punched on Uber the quickest delivery. You have no idea how hungry I am and thirsty, and it said it would be delivered in 10 to 15 minutes.
Right.
It took a little bit longer because this lady was on her bike. Watching her. She was riding a bike.
Convenience.
Dude, all those U.S. burger joints, they're the most overrated thing. Like, everybody says you got to get an In-N-Out burger, this and that. Five guys, it's all overrated. Sorry.
I'm like, so disappointed.
I would disagree with you. I think it's appropriately rated. I think In-N-Out is a spectacular joint.
What about it? It's just a greasy burger, Hayes.
Yeah. That's right. It's not like world class cuisine, but it's exclusive.
Okay,
to
Harvey's
the West Coast
is 10 times better. Like, it's
well,
10
Harvey's
times
is good
better.
Listen, all fast food, I feel like they kind of work under the same umbrella.
True.
A little bit better.
I just
here.
When you see the movies, you see the commercials, you go to California, you're like, okay, I'll try an In-N-Out burger. You have it. You're like really?
And they're everywhere. Like every style. That's why I'm surprised that you went to a second joint before you hit one, because I would have assumed there'd be one maybe in the hotel. But I've told you about my experiences before, because I don't deliver in very often. I'll go out and pick up. Like, I'll call it in, gets me out of the house. I'm like, I'll go do a pickup, get me out for 20 minutes. And so I have never really used these apps. My wife has a couple of times. But we have had food on our front porch multiple times where just by happenstance, I'm going to, like, turn the lights out in the front hall, and I'm like, there's pizza out there. I don't know if it's been out there for an hour or 2 hours. I have no idea. But clearly someone delivered it to the wrong address.
Right.
So you're telling me the person that delivered it, they still have to pay for that, even though the delivery person clearly made the
dude,
wrong
I
decision?
Dude, I told you about me and my brother in Collingwood. Me and my brother in Collingwood. I was working, and he was in his truck with his son. This guy wheels up and says, you want to sign for the Swiss Chalet? Okay, no problem. After I'm 7:01, my brother wheels in with two half chicken dinners and four baked potatoes, which I found weird. And we both looked at each other while we're scarfing it down. And we said, what's up with the baked potatoes? And and at the same time, we were like, I didn't order this. So somebody ordered two half chicken dinners and it was just dropped off and we just absolutely destroyed it, and it was free because we didn't order it.
Right. It's, I know. Like, I love how both of you just assume this is, like, hey, You were like, man, what a great brother. And he's like, man,
I was, because I'm like, this guy is so perfect because at 7:01, I'm done the show. And he was probably thinking, this guy's so awesome because he ordered this and I just got to pick it up at the door.
Yep.
And we just start devouring it. It's like, dude, I said, what's up with the baked potatoes? Are you like a baked potato freak?
Right.
He's like, I didn't order this food. And I'm like, well, neither did I. We just got free food.
Yeah. No, I know. It's quite the experience, man, because both times it happened twice over the course of like 2 weeks, and I bring it into my wife. I'm like, what are we supposed to do here? She's like, well, I don't know. Like, we're not going to call Uber Eats or whatever it was. It's not our problem, and it could have been out there for 2 hours.
But just as much as we enjoyed the free food, there was probably some other guy that was so high and so
furious.
Hungry and so furious that he's waiting around, and he called and said, I didn't get my food in the restaurant saying, yeah, we did, dude. We delivered it, and you were quite happy.
Right. Could you think of a more dry meal than that chicken and baked potatoes? Like,
dude, four of them. I'm like, right. I said to my brother, I'm like, I've never known you like baked potatoes this much. And he's like, I did not order
crazy.
This food.
Crazy. I think I may have gotten to the bottom of it.
Okay.
It's downstairs. Like, it just,
buddy, go
just
get
put it.
It
on a table.
Just go
at
the get
front
the
door.
Food.
Well, it's going to be gone now. It's probably
oh, someone's
going to
think
20...
that. Yeah, the concierge. We ordered this
food. Noodles, I'm going to allow you. As soon as Johnny comes on, just put your headset down and go get your food. I know you're hungry.
I will run down and get it. I just want to make sure that I have it. That's my biggest thing. You got to make sure I have it. I'm not going to eat it. I just want to make sure that's there.
Okay.
And some of you
buddy,
know,
hit
guy
the
has
talk,
a...
hit the button, go down and get your food, and then come back.
Check on it.
Because now we're curious, minutes. And I think I can speak now, for the audience. Like, everyone wants to know what's going on in San Jose, California.
We want to see the food. Go get it.
Principal, I'm going to get it.
Okay, go get it. Noodles is going to get it. Let's hope we have some sort of triumphant return. You talk about an I'm back video. This will trump everything. He comes
dude,
back
I'm
with.
I'm telling you, he's not coming back. He's coming back with feathers. That food is not going to be done.
I don't
there.
Think it. And he's, you know how he
dude,
is.
Dude, I
this
told
kind
you, I used
too.
To eat chicken wings from a guy's plate walking in at 2 in the morning. That food is gone.
It's 100% gone. That's California. It's, you know, not that it matters what day of the week it is. Someone walked in there at 2 o'clock and said, I'll take this. Because, yeah, the delivery process, they drop it, take a picture, and they take off.
Yeah.
So it's either gone or it's been contaminated in some fashion. That's what's going to happen with him. His head's going to start spinning because the bag will be open in a weird fashion, and he's like, I can't. I'm not going to do it now. So, all right, we'll see. We'll track Noodles and what he's doing out in Cali. Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's our TSN hockey analyst, Mike Johnson. What's happening, Johnny?
What's going on, boys? I caught the tail end of the wing drop-off story, and it sounds less than promising.
Yeah, Noodles is dealing with
this guy's a freakazoid, first of all, Johnny. He goes to Cali, and what he wants to eat is Johnny Rockets and other garbage food, where I guarantee you, San Jose is not exactly the best for restaurants, but I guarantee you there's some high-end stuff out there that people, like, what do you, is there anywhere you go other than Johnny Rockets in San Jose?
Yeah, I'm not going to Johnny Rockets, that's for sure. I mean, you can venture just outside into like some of the vineyard areas that are only like 20, 30 minutes away and get a nice little experience and have a nice steak dinner with some wine. I mean, there's lots of places to go. I would, yeah, like, listen, I'm not above eating crappy food, but I like when you get out there, you should try to find something better
right.
than you could get at in a food court.
Well, that's Noodles, man. He flew in dreaming of Johnny Rockets, and I guess it's all closed down there around him. So he went to Jack in the Box, got it delivered. You ran down to the front hall. Noodles is back. Do we have a delivery? Is it contaminated? What's going on? We got to get your mic up. Your mic's not on. All right, work on the mic.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay, sorry. Status report. So I go down to the front, and I ask the lady, was there an Uber person? And she goes, I didn't see anybody. I turn around. There is, it's just sitting on a table, right? Like, it's like the person just dropped it off at the hotel, in the front lobby.
Right in the front lobby.
I'm a little concerned. The bag was open and there was
I
a
knew
kid
it.
Sitting
I
in
told,
the chair.
Oh, no.
I told
dude,
you.
Nobody grabbed
I
the bun
you.
Of your sandwich and shoved it down their
it's
underpants
not about the bun,
and then
but
put
the,
it back
the,
in the bag.
The fries are exposed, and I saw a kid. There's a door, like the bag was open, like flat out open. And there was a kid sitting on the couch right across from it.
Okay, let's take bets going around the table. I say you don't touch any of it. My guess is you don't eat one piece in that bag. Oh, what do you think?
I don't think you're left with any choice. You're hungry. You're in San Jose. You dummy the whole bag.
Johnny, what would you do?
I think there's no question. It is a prudent decision to not touch anything inside that bag. Who knows where it's been, what's happened to it, and what kind of germs may be matriculated on down.
Right.
Johnny, I'll make you a deal. How about this?
Picking his nose for gravy.
How about this? Before every bite, you got to do a deep sniff. That's my only thing. That is the middle ground.
What's that going to solve?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What are you, a dog? You're a canine?
Trusting your senses a lot.
Yeah, like, how are you going to figure this out? But us going around the table is a sign of our own personality. So, of course, I was like, you would have that thing turned inside out, front lobby, and
Dude, you would come back
for the segment.
Non-negotiable. It would be dummy the food, hotel bar, have a quick Grey Goose, like a 12 Grey Goose, and forget that it happened.
Right. Yeah, well, that's one way of doing it, I guess, as well.
It's so just upsetting. Burn all that stuff up. Just kill everything that you just ate.
Right. It's just so upsetting because I would have been fine had there been nobody there, but there was a little kid just sitting like 10 feet away from it, and the bag was clearly like the bag is open.
It's a contaminated bag.
I don't know. It's just disappointing because I know people, listen, people, delivery people, I want to tip them. I always tip generously. Do I give a thumbs up? That's a thumbs down.
That's a poor following of instructions. That's a lazy walk in the lobby, toss it, and see you later. Yeah.
Although I will tell you guys, and Noodles would appreciate this, traveling a lot, feel like you won the lottery if you have an Uber delivery person that's able to bring it to your hotel room door.
Exactly.
As opposed to, like, sometimes they won't let them up the elevator, but sometimes they do, and they give the knock on the door. It's like the most glorious feeling of all time. You don't have to get up, schlep down there, and everything else. So, you gotta pick your spots with guys who can bring it right to you. Otherwise, you have to worry. Otherwise, you're waiting in the lobby for them.
Right.
Or your food gets contaminated, and you should probably not even have it in your room anymore, Noodles. You're in the balcony.
Ticking time bomb, Noodles. We'll keep us posted. We'll see where it goes.
Well, there's,
and be honest about it, how you're going to handle this.
I will be honest. I might pass on the fries. Okay. I see that the burger, like the chicken burger, has been fully wrapped, and it came with a bonus Cheerios, mini Cheerios.
Those are butter.
Cheerio.
Yeah, Cheerios. And those are fully wrapped too. So I think the kid just got his grubby hands into the fries.
I think so too. You should ask the front desk if they have video. It'd be hilarious.
That would be amazing.
He's so good. So good. With Mike Johnson, a TSN hockey analyst, since we're into this theme of taking votes, and I missed the show on Friday, I'm glad to hear, Johnny, because I want to bring something up that happened on Thursday night. I think I made 500 cash. I think that McDavid goal against Winnipeg was better, more impressive, and absolutely more of a highlight goal than the one against the Rangers. And I'm curious to see if anyone else has the stones to admit the obvious going around the table, because when he did what he did against New York, I came on here and said, I think he's going to top it at some point this year. You guys were all adamant, couldn't be possible. I think he did. I think he did on Thursday night. Johnny, what do you think?
First of all, I never said, go ahead, Johnny.
Okay. First of all, just because you said something would happen and something remotely similar to that happened doesn't make you right. It makes you wrong.
All right.
He got close, and it was amazing. And for anybody else in the NHL, it would be the goal of the year. But no, it's not as impressive. I think that the fact that it was one versus four, and actually when you watch the Winnipeg goal, not to just diminish it at all, once he gets around Adam Lowry, he's beaten Logan Stanley wide into the net.
Right.
Something that you would almost expect him to be able to do. Because he is that great. So, of course, it's incredible and crazy. But, no, it was not better. And the moment, to me, while equally important, late in the game, get them to overtime, the other one was a wild back-and-forth game on Kevin Lowe night, all the greats in the building, and he was like, hey, I'm one of the greats too. So I don't even think the moment for Winnipeg passed the moment of the Rangers. So I'm going to say, no, you didn't win any money. In fact, whatever you bet, you probably lost a little bit.
Well, I still got some time. I got a lot of games.
I'm going to say I agree with you, Johnny, because I look at that. That Ranger game was insane, like insane. It was back and forth, and McDavid just decided, okay, we're not losing this game because they were down. Weren't they down 4-1?
Yeah, they were down 4-1 or 4-2.
Right.
And it was in the third period.
But he just said, that's it, and I'm going to take control of this game, because I think Zibanejad scored to make it 5-4, and Oilers had stormed all their way back, and McDavid said, I'm taking control of this. But the Winnipeg game is interesting because they had just scored, and it was a tight game, and he was
more
pissed.
History with those two teams, too.
Right, and
more.
He was like, we are not losing to these guys.
But don't
right.
you guys think the most bizarre element of all of this is when his career's over, he might have 30 goals that are better than both of those two?
Right.
He might.
He might.
Yeah.
He's going to have 30 anyway that you could list off and say, this is crazy, and I don't know how many other guys could even
Doesn't he have the one against Columbus? That's in his first year, maybe, or second year, where he goes.
That was his first game back after the shoulder injury, if I'm not mistaken.
Wow.
After he banged out his shoulder, and yeah, he did the toe drag through and scored on that one. That was big because of the moment. But, yeah, there's lots of them. But if you break it down, like, underneath the triangle of Logan Stanley, cut inside, quick shot, far side, like, I would expect him to do that almost every time he plays against Logan Stanley at some point during the game. No disrespect to Logan, but, you know, he's that good, and you're right, though. Like, what would be – he could have a top 50 that would pass just about any player's top five. I mean, it's just he's amazing. He's amazing.
He's
one-on-one. He's crazy.
He's so good. Who do you think is the better team in Alberta right now? Is it Edmonton or Calgary?
I think it's Calgary. I think your boy Daryl Sutter Noodles has gotten them going in the right way. Their rush, their ability off the rush offensively, and their ability to defend the rush defensively. I of course like their top four defensemen more than I like Edmonton's top four defensemen. And while they don't have the superstars, two of them, and maybe a Nuge on there, they have a lot of good forwards. They have 7, 8, 9 good forwards. So if they were to play tomorrow, I would pick Calgary to win that series.
Yeah, I've been – obviously, I like their goaltender more, which is maybe what I would go to first.
Yeah, of course.
Right. Markstrom is better than – if it's Koskinen, if it's Smith, it doesn't matter. I'm taking Markstrom every day of the week. But the way they're defending, the way – like, the shutout streak is remarkable. It's not going to continue. I mean, it seems almost like an anomaly in a way. But look what they just did over the weekend. Like, at the Isles, dismantled them. That win in Boston last night was really impressive. Impressive. And a lot of wins on the road. Calgary looks really good. And this is the history of bringing a great coach in halfway through a dumpster fire year. It's like, probably not going to get it back on the rails, but give him a full summer, full off season, see where he takes it, and that's what Sutter's doing right now.
And the other thing, too, MJ, you pointed to, like, their top players are playing well. Like, Johnny Gaudreau, he's in a contract year, but he's been lights out. Lindholm's a really good player. Mm-hmm. Kachuk's had a bounce-back season statistically. We talked about it last hour, Johnny. Mangiapane, 15 goals, but he's up for the Cy Young with 2 assists.
I love that. 15 and 2. Not even a point a game. He's got 15 goals in 19 games. Not a point a game.
Who was the guy a couple years ago? Was it Brandon Peary? Did he have 21
yes.
goals and 3 assists one year? Like, it's almost impossible to imagine being able to do that. Like, I can appreciate being a shooter first and getting 20 goals and 14 assists. But, like, 20 and 21 and 2? Yeah, and Mangiapane is a good story, you know, good at building off what he did at the World Championships last year for Canada and really taking his game to the next level. So, yeah, you're right, Noodles. All their best players are playing at the top of their game right now. So, at some point, it doesn't always go that way, but they look so impressive. And if one of the big questions to me was, their backup goalie is who? Dan Vladar?
Yeah. Like,
Darth
Vladar. Like, what's this guy going to do? Is he like, can you trust him? Do you know? And it's entirely a crapshoot. Does Markstrom have to play 65 games because this guy you're not sure? And the fact that he's got his numbers as well, like a 954, I know it's only 4 or 5 games, but still. Gives them lots of confidence as a backup, even that's gone better than anticipated. So, yeah, a lot's gone right, but both are really good. Like, both would be contenders to get to the Stanley Cup final. I mean, if the playoffs started today.
And, Johnny, oh, sure. I think it's a good reason why, because in this day and age, it's like, and I think Tree Living is a really bright guy. I think he's a good hockey guy. That's why you just don't fire the guy when things were going a little bit south, when they had to fire coaches and Peters left. And they weren't doing well. And everyone just says, fire the guy. You give him a chance to reset. He brought in a coach. He got a backup goaltender. He did sign Markstrom. He brought Tanev in. Like, those are good quality moves for a hockey team. Like, the answer is not always just can the guy. Just let him figure it out.
Yeah, for sure. And I guess can you trust that he will figure it out? And what about his track record? Would you believe that for, right? Like, I mean, you think about Vancouver, obviously the place where it's a hot button issue. Like, what about if you're not going to change the GM, you want to give him a chance to figure it out and make a trade? Well, he kind of did that this summer, and it hasn't gone well.
So, I believe that might be a different scenario, Johnny.
Yeah, I think
exactly.
Vancouver is.
My point exactly.
Well, the Leafs, obviously, they figured it out. They had a really tough start the first 5-7 games of the year. They were getting blown out. They looked uncomfortable on the ice. They looked disorganized, and they found a rhythm. And they're in a lot of low-scoring, tight games. And I find they're looking comfortable in those games, Johnny. And it almost feels unnecessary to mention the word maturity, or ridiculous, quite frankly, because obviously they should be mature. They've been around for a long time. They're a veteran-laden team. They've had all these meltdowns in the past, and they keep saying they're going to learn from them. But I've seen a couple of different examples this year, including the way they performed in front of Joseph Woll a couple of weeks ago in Buffalo, hung him out to dry, did not allow that to happen again last night. The way they played against Pittsburgh about a month ago when they were depleted, did not let that happen again last night. Are those signs of maturity? What are you seeing of this team? What are you liking about the way they're playing, especially in uncomfortable moments in the third period?
I'm with you. Like, saying they've matured implies that they were really immature last year. And, like, right. They learned that much from that loss against Montreal. What, those three games all of a sudden spun them on their – like, I don't know. Wouldn't that have happened the year prior against Columbus, the year prior against – like, I don't know. What I think it is as much as anything, is that their goalies have been amazing. So, yeah, you look comfortable in those close games because your goalies never give up goals, partially because you're playing better defense, but because your goalies are playing really well as well. So I think that offers the illusion of a really comfortable team in close games because they keep winning them because their goalies have been rock solid. I also think Sheldon Keefe has often talked about his desire to have a shutdown line. And the team never really had the personnel or was built to kind of carry that, and he has that. This camp line has done exactly what Sheldon Keefe and the Leafs were hoping that he could do for them. Him and Kasha have been a nice pair, and sometimes Engvall or whoever, Richie, is on that other wing. Like, they get defensive zone starts, they get tough matchups, and they just kind of chew them up and spit them out and put them back in the offensive zone. And I think that's a big part of being comfortable in close games, right? Like, what is it? Defensive zone faceoff. Their team throws out their top line. They're buzzing. And you got a line you can go out there and know that more often than not, they're going to get the puck out. They're going to do good plays. They're going to get down to the offensive zone and add to that sense of confidence that you'll be fine figuring this out. And I also wondered, part of this maturity, like, let's say the Leafs were scoring as they should, right? I don't want to get into expected goals for O. He doesn't like that algorithm. But, like, nobody has scored less than they should have than the Leafs. Like, the Leafs are, like, 18 goals fewer than they were supposed to score to this point in the year. So had they been scoring more, would we think they're comfortable with close games? Or they're just like, oh, yeah, they're scoring a lot and they're winning a lot by two instead of one? So I think all those things factor into this idea that somehow they're way more mature. But they are good defensively. But I think they were pretty good defensively last year.
They were during the season. Yeah, no, they
right,
were
during
for
the
sure.
regular season, right?
Yeah,
so, I mean, that's not new.
Go ahead.
Johnny, with Austin Matthews, is he involved? Like, what are you seeing from him? Is this his version of saying, I'm going to take less goals for team success? Or is he just not on fire offensively? What do you make of his play? And is it a situation where they don't really need him to score 65 goals? Just be very good and get 40, and let's try for team success? Or where are you at with that?
Well, I mean, he was going to score 60 last year, and they came first. So, I mean, it's not like you can't have both, right? Yeah. I mean, playoffs are different, but it's like, you know, he can be the leading goal scorer in the league, and they can also be good defensively and good team success. I mean, I think for Austin, it was no training camp, not 100% risk to start. And then, you know, him and Willie didn't work very well together. But when I watch him, he hasn't been quite as dominant around the puck. Now, teams are checking him incredibly hard, trying to figure out what he wants to do with it. But to me, like, he's at his best. Like, he's not a fast-looking skater, but he's fast, quick to pucks. And I watch him when he's good. He's quick to a lot of pucks, quick to pick them off or turn them over or jump inside players to get a shot. And I'm not seeing that quite as often this year as last. And I think that has a lot to do probably with his injury and his lack of training camp and kind of a bit of a slow start physically because of the surgery.
Yeah, he again, I fully expect that he'll break out. I mean, I think everyone does. At some point, he's going to have a run of 8-9 goals in 3 or 4 games. I think it's going to happen for him. But he had a chance to kind of break loose last night. And to your point, this is not Pavel Bure. This isn't McDavid. He doesn't have breakaway speed. But he kind of stopped on himself last night. I don't remember exactly the timeline of the play. But he basically he held up and was like, I'm not even going to try to win this race.
Right.
And I think in past years, he either has the confidence to do that or he's like, I'm going to force them to take a penalty on me. Like, I'm going to use my size, I'm going to get in front of this guy, and I'm going to get a shot off. And I'm not – and that's one example, I understand it, but he doesn't look the same. He doesn't feel the same 5-on-5, but it's irrelevant in terms of the wins and losses because the team has managed to pick him up. Mitch Marner did it last night. You know, Marner's played really well, really, really well the last two and a half weeks. And I think he's carrying that line at this point.
Yeah, but like, isn't that the luxury of having these four guys? Like,
absolutely.
They can all kind of ebb and flow, and if Austin's not feeling it, Mitch is good enough to make it go. And if Tavares not feeling, Willie's been good enough to make it go. Like, that's why they get paid so much. That's why the team is built the way it is, that they're all individually talented enough that if something else is going on, they can be difference makers in a game. So I'm not worried about it. I you know, at this point, you thought for sure he'd win the Rocket. Like, what is he, 10, 11 goals behind Leon Draisaitl? That's probably going to be hard for him to get back into that race. But, you know, maybe to O's point, not wasting all his goals, not focusing all his energies on chasing whatever, records or trophies in the regular season. Maybe it offers him more perspective or something, more in the tank when he gets to the playoffs. But I'm not so sure about that. I think it's just a bit of a slow start. And again, I hate going back to this, but the Leafs are not going to shoot 6% the whole year. Like, the league average is whatever it is, like 10. Even strength is like 8.5, almost 9. They're not going to be one of the worst shooting teams in the league. They're not. They're too talented for that to happen. So, like, once they go on a run where these numbers will, as they should, start to balance themselves out, everyone will be like, what's different? What's different? I think a lot of it, like, how many crossbars did they hit the other day?
Mm-hmm.
4? Like, those aren't even shots on net. You know, a couple of those go in. It feels different. So I think a lot of this is early season noise when it comes to the numbers and shooting percentages and everything else. And those should correct themselves at some point in the next couple of months.
Great stuff, buddy, as always. We'll do it again later in the week. Thank you for this.
Noodles, don't do it, buddy. I'm not ready to call a game off tube when you go down tomorrow. I'm not ready.
I'm going to try just the chicken burger and no fries.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to do.
All right. We'll leave it there.
Put it back in the microwave to kill anything that's in there at least. Give me like 20
microwave?
Seconds.
I'm sitting in a conference room. Like, I'm on the road. I'm sitting randomly. That's why I look like I'm being held against my will right now.
Yeah,
you call room service. You tell them to fire the microwave just to burn off whatever might be floating around in there. I'm telling you, it's in your best interest.
All right, I will.
I agree with that. We'll let you know. We'll keep you posted. Thank you, Johnny.
All right, boys.
Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. And you can pre-orders. Pre-orders are now available for all models, including the all-new 2022 Tundra and Corolla Cross. Visit MapleToyota.com. A little mixed up there with my reads, as if I haven't done them 1 million times in the past. But I will say this about Matthews. You know, he's chipping in a lot in terms of the power play that wasn't great, clearly, over the course of the weekend. But the fact that they're winning, I would think the weight of the world probably isn't on him. Like, he's a goal scorer. He's thinking about it. He wants to break loose. I'm sure he wants the Rocket. I would think he wants, you know, the Leaf records. Like, Rick Five has been looking over his shoulder for a while, thinking this guy's going to, you know, COVID knocked it out a couple of years ago. Last year it wasn't going to happen because of COVID and the schedule. This year,
don't kid yourself.
I thought,
if they were losing lots right now, he would not be.
He'd be hearing about it.
Fun.
Yep, exactly.
Right, of course,
and that's the beauty of a team sport, where if you're not contributing the way you're expected to and the way you have to based on who you are and the minutes you're playing and the money you get paid, if the team wins, it's like, man, whatever. Move it on.
It could be a confidence thing for the team, too, because sitting on the bus or having a beer with your teammate somewhere saying, we're good right now, but wait till 34 gets cooking.
Exactly.
We'll be lights out.
That is, I think, a very important point. Like, if he starts filling the net and starts cooking, then all of a sudden you're looking at a potentially different layer of success, you know, or in terms of what they're playing like and the way that they look. Marcellus Wiley in about 10, 12 minutes on the Monday nighter tonight, Tampa, New York. What's up with Bill Belichick and the Pats? Are the Chiefs officially back? What's up with the Packers? What's wrong with the Bills? There's a lot to get into. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Marcellus Wiley will join us here in about 7, 8 minutes. We have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs Columbus, Tuesday, December 7th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you'll have a chance to call in and name that Leaf. Today's clue, we're going to make you work for it on Monday. This Maple Leaf was born in Canada.
Oh, my Lord.
This Maple Leaf was born in Canada. Can't even give him a province? Grappler, man. He's a stickler for these tickets. I like it. You got to ease into the week.
Dude, right? That's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard.
That
is terrible.
I love it.
That is
terrible. Get your damn act together.
This Maple Leaf was born in Canada. There's your first clue. So, you know, jump on HockeyDB. Go to TSN.ca. Start figuring that out. There's only a few options. Not many, you know, Canadian-born Leafs.
You have to give the listener or the viewer the opportunity to guess it on the first clue.
It should actually, if someone could call in and nail this,
yeah,
it would be remarkable.
You get them.
You, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and more than that.
And somehow we'll go to the game with you. Or
yeah, we'll be
like
the
that.
Ones
crazy
to go with you. You know, like, it's got to, like, that's just, I like it. I like it. The grapples, it's Monday. You know, you got to make people work here. We're talking about the Tiger Woods video in the last hour. Do you see the video of Tony Finau shooting a 59 down in Arizona with John Rahm? And a couple of things I find impressive about it. One, he shot 59. I think Rahm shot 63. Imagine shooting 59 and you beat your partner by 4 shots. Third time Finau's done it. But we had the RSM this weekend. You had a tournament over in Dubai. These guys are like, nah, it's the offseason. I'll hang out at home, wife, kids. Nah, I'll call up Rombo, see if he wants to play. Like, they're just playing 18, even when they're off. It's, you know, I love it. And
dude,
the videos
you get those
out.
Two guys on a normal golf course, Hayes. It's like every par 5, it's a birdie or better. And they throw darts, no pressure, and they crush the golf ball off the tee. Everything's a pitch and putt.
Right.
Like, good courses are just pitch and putts.
Yeah, these guys, they're it's like Silverleaf or some big spot down in Arizona, and they're all members there. I guess Finau's done it 3 times. Imagine shooting 59 3 times, and he didn't even celebrate. Like, he's just out there, T-shirt untucked, pair of Nikes on. He's like, oh, yeah, all good. And you're right, these guys are just throwing darts, hitting bombs. But, like, 59, I think it would be more likely I would have 4 hole-in-ones in the same round than ever shoot 59. In 18, like 59, I cannot do it. It's not possible.
No.
Like, I could ostensibly have 4 hole-in-ones. Like, I could get to the hole 4 times. And it's never going to happen, clearly. But 59, never. Honestly, I think that might apply to you, too. You're a much better player. Like, with all due respect, I don't think you can shoot 59.
Not even close. Yeah. I can't break 70 hardly at my own golf course.
Right.
Jeez,
shout out to Tony Finau, 59. So, yeah, we'll get back into the Tiger video in the next hour. 3 seconds, hitting wedges at a course down in Florida. What does it mean? Is he going to Augusta? There's a little bit of a text chain going on right now with another scoop, another idea. J-Max in the text chain with his idea of what he thinks is going to happen with Tiger Woods. We'll tell you about that. Marcellus Wiley coming up. Are Belichick and the Pats the best team in the AFC, best team in the NFL? What do we expect out of Brady tonight? What's going on down in Buffalo? Lots to get into with Marcellus. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Chris Johnston will join us in the next hour. We'll keep teeing up the Monday nighter tonight. The Leafs are off. The Raptors are off. Both in action on Wednesday night. So we'll get back into that in the next hour. And Monday nighter tonight, Tampa at home, big favorite. 11-point favorite at home against the Giants. Al's brother was already in here. You guys had the pick. You and Al's brother, of course, are on the favorites. There isn't a number big enough that you guys will not take. You love Tampa tonight, minus 11. And joining us to chat about that amongst some other storylines throughout the NFL and sports, here's our good buddy Marcellus Wiley. What do you see happening tonight, Marcellus? You leaning one way or the other, Tampa or New York?
I know it's going to be a dogfight just because New York showed us that fight when we saw them barely lose a game at Kansas City. And Tampa's been sputtering of late, obviously with the injury concern and some of the erratic play, especially offensively. But I still think that Tampa prevails. They know what's at stake, and they're ready for this moment, better prepared than New York. But it's one of those games where you know you're going to be in the fight. You know that you're going to walk out with a few nicks, few scratches, few cuts. But they're going to win the fight, but know that they've been in the fight.
I think it would go without saying that Tom Brady, he's focused on Tampa, but he's always going to have one eye on New England because of his affinity for the franchise, the city, his history there. He was there for as long as he was. He has such incredible history, unprecedented history there. Do you think it would be to a point, though, where it would be motivating in any fashion for Brady to see what Belichick and the Pats are doing and think, all right, I saw you on Thursday. Wait till you see what happens tonight.
Oh, absolutely. Look, especially when you're talking about your ex-team, a former place of home and a place where you certainly got your roots and your start from, you're always going to have a fond place for them in your heart. But that also can turn to something that inspires you and gives you some motivation when you leave that same place. I remember when I left San Diego and I was playing for the Dallas Cowboys, and I remember looking back at their record and really getting upset because the San Diego Chargers got better when I left. And I was like, whoa, this team is really good. We weren't that good when I was there. And there's always like this emotional battle, a seesaw of sort, of the highs and lows that come from someplace you've been. And especially when you're talking about a dynasty and 20 years in the making of where he was in New England. So, yeah, he looks around. He's like, damn, they did replace me with this Mac Jones rookie that does look like a little mini-me, a version of me. And, damn, they are winning their division. I thought I left them for dead, and look at them alive right now. Something he'll never admit, but certainly something for fuel and motivation.
Marcellus, is Belichick having one of his best years as a coach right now? I mean, I know it just looks like a different team, and coming off last year where he had guys missing for COVID and just an off season, but is he having one of those seasons where you're just like, this is why he's one of the best coaches to ever coach?
Well, yeah, and that's a high bar to say one of his best, because the guy has won 6 Super Bowl championships, right, and been to 9. So it's tough to say this is one of his best. But at the same time, I think last year was one of his worst, and I think that's what we're referencing. Like, last year they just didn't have the personnel. They didn't have the skill players. They didn't have the right quarterback based on preparation and understanding of the system. Cam Newton had no preseason, no offseason, just came in there early July and tried to pick things up. And he did a better than adequate job based off of that lack of preparation, but not good enough. Not when the standard is Tom Brady and the GOAT. Obviously, it's going to feel like a failure and regression. But now, you got the greatest coach of all time. You got the greatest defensive mind of all time in the same head coach, Bill Belichick. And he just spent the most money in free agency history to reload this team. That was a great situation Mac Jones found himself a part of, and now you're starting to see the bearing of that fruit from that relationship. So, yeah, this is a good performance, but it's going to be hard to beat those 6 championships unless he gets a 7.
Marcellus, what's up in Buffalo? Is this adversity for Allen and company, or what the hell's going on there? Is this cause for concern?
Oh, definitely cause for some concern. It's not the sky is falling in Buffalo, but let's just be real. Josh Allen has improved every single year he's been in the NFL. It's okay if one year he doesn't improve incrementally like he has before, but at the same time, you need to support him with the running game and support him with the defense. And I think a little too much has been put on his shoulders in terms of carrying this team. That said, in today's NFL, no team is sticking out as the front runner. So everyone else is still in contention. And Buffalo is still there, despite them not being in first place in their division anymore. That's New England. They're still right where they need to be, not exactly where they want to be. But they need to figure out some consistency in terms of what they're doing, especially offensively, because Josh Allen, by the numbers, it's hard to continue to improve. But by performance is where he needs to focus and have impact on this game, because right now it seems like a little bit of a roller coaster ride in terms of performance.
Yeah, I think you could look at this in Buffalo, and I think I got a pretty good read on the market. I think I know which way they're looking at it. But there is a glass half full here, which is what you just expressed. The AFC is not loaded. It's not even close, man. I don't know if there's a great team. You got a lot of games left. Buffalo, I think, has the makings of a very good team, maybe a great team. You get time to figure it out. You're still above 500. You're in a playoff spot. Glass half full. That would be the mentality of a town with confidence and a history with winning. I would assume it's the glass half empty because they're like, this is the year we're supposed to take advantage and be great. We're not. And there's Bill Belichick again. And now Mahomes is starting to heat up. So I think they're looking around and being like, here we go again. You know, Buffalo's going to Buffalo. And I would guess that's probably the mentality in Western New York.
Yeah, I totally understand where they're coming from, but I also have to just advise them that perseverance is such an attribute in terms of success. In terms of contributing to someone's success is just piercing through those walls and those mental barriers that you have. And to realize that your past is not having that direct impact on your future unless you let it. And what they've been through before, it doesn't matter how many times you won a championship, New England, that doesn't give you a better chance or guarantee of the next championship, as Belichick found out last year. And it's the vice versa for a team like Buffalo, who's always come up short, doesn't mean you always have to come up short. And right now, perseverance will save any team in this war of attrition, because all these teams seem like they're backpedaling to the finish line. So why not the Buffalo Bills? They have the talent. They have the quarterback. They have what they need. They just need to go out there and stay alive in this race. So sometimes it's about winning, and sometimes it's about just not losing. And you shouldn't lose confidence right now if you're a Buffalo Bills fan, because you're still right where you need to be.
With longtime NFLer Marcellus Wiley. On the NFC side of things, you know, the big boys are being tested. Green Bay's now lost two of their last three. They barely got past a bad Seattle team in between those losses. Arizona's dealing with injuries. Perseverance, I give them credit, man. That was a big win yesterday. No Murray, no Hopkins. They're still rolling. Dallas is running into it. The Rams are running into it. We just talked about the Bucks. Like, the NFC had been really top-heavy through 7 or 8 weeks. Are you seeing them coming back to earth? Is this a blip in the radar? How do you feel about the big boys in the NFC?
Yeah, the NFC is interesting as well, because you really wanted to hang your hat on Green Bay, because outside of a week one performance or the fact that you saw them lose a game without Aaron Rodgers to Kansas City, you're like, I could get with the Green Bay Packers, obviously with the talent that they have, especially the quarterback, but more importantly, the resiliency. But then you lose a close game, but a good game to the Minnesota Vikings, and then you just have to pause, like, how good are they? Because Minnesota's a talented team, but inconsistent team. So now Green Bay's right there with Minnesota. You look at Tampa Bay, and as much as you want to believe in them and know that they're a team that has that Super Bowl pedigree, they're up and down. Everybody in that conference, except maybe Arizona, you can say, has put up some subpar performances. But Arizona continues to find a way, but that's without Kyler Murray. We'll see what happens when Kyler Murray comes back and if they can continue to roll and increase how they're playing in terms of performance. But right now, man, this is a great NFL season. Yep. Because no one is definitively the best team, and I think that's good for all the fans that are still in contention.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. Always appreciate you taking time for us, buddy. We'll do it again next week. Happy Thanksgiving down there, and be safe. We'll do it again soon. Thank you.
All right. Gobble up, guys. Talk to you later.
You got it. Marcellus Wiley, longtime NFLer. See him on FS1. Yeah, we got the Thanksgiving games coming up on Thursday.
And Hayes, one thing he mentioned there where he said nobody's – I think Tom Brady has this kind of lull mid-season. I mean, I'm not going to backtrack it, but it just seems like there's ups and downs in the middle of the season, and then he just gets – it's like Tiger Woods, man. He knows when to peak, and he knows when to get cooking at the right time, and that's all you want in the NFL.
I would not be surprised if by the end of the season we look at a team and say that's a great team. Like, there's still a lot of runway here. There's an extra week. Right, they're playing a 17th game. We're talking 6-7 games here. Like, that's an eternity in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
We're in, yeah, mid-season, a little bit of malaise. You're dealing with injuries. The Packers are really depleted with injuries to high-end guys. That's a real problem for them. But I wouldn't be shocked if Tampa looked like that in a month. If maybe the Packers, maybe the Rams, you know, maybe the Chiefs, maybe the Bills again. I would not be surprised. Yeah, there's been ebbs and flows. There's still a lot of play left. Then once you get into December, that's when the big boys separate. That's when the really, truly quality teams decide, okay, we can smell the playoffs. It's go time here. Let's step up. And I'm not convinced we're going to be in the same level of parity or dealing with all these different teams in the mud a month and a half from now. As for the Thursday games this week, Chicago at Detroit, awful game. Vegas at Dallas. You know, Dallas is playing. It's always interesting. They're a good team. Vegas is, you know, they're good. They're not great.
Dude, why does the league have this allegiance with the Detroit Lions to play in this game? They got to stop it.
I've been beating that drum forever. I got to stop because everyone in Detroit hates me because all I do is hammer on Detroit.
Just get another team. Everyone wants to. Like, imagine the viewership on that game. Everyone full of turkey on their couch or whatever.
They started it. They take the claim, which they do. Dude, they're like, we were the ones that did it.
The television network doesn't owe them anything, though.
No. No, but you're still getting it. Because it's on, everyone's watching. The numbers are going to be insane. But Chicago sucks. You know, like, put Tampa in there or something. Like, give us one team that we can look forward to. And then Buffalo at New Orleans is the nightcap. Buffalo on a short week off their bad loss. Man, that's going to – at the Superdome, they got to get a win down there. Got to. Hour 3 coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and the TSN app.